father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 933. John and Lance. Chris Trapasso joins us right now, NFL draft analyst for CBS. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. Let's talk a little bit about our Houston Texans. Lance here, I don't know if you know Lance.
Yeah, we know each other.
Oh, you know each other? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Definitely. I didn't know that you guys were boys.
Chris used to work at...
I know Jerry Foltz. You don't know him.
That's true. You used to work at NFL.com, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, I did. Like, Johnny Manziel draft was when I was at NFL.com.
Wow, that worked out well for Johnny. So, Chris... we know Lance and his thoughts on the Houston Texans at 3-13. What are your thoughts?
I really think they're just in a best player available situation. And it, what's nice for them is that the strengths at the top, in my opinion, and really what is the general consensus of this draft, are two premium positions, edge rusher and offensive tackle. I know they aren't going to trade Laremy Tunsil, but I think, you know, if they love one of these offensive tackles, I wouldn't hate that. To me, if Kayvon Thibodeau is there, I think that would be a really good value selection, even at number three, because I think his upside is really through the roof. And it feels like to me, and Lance would probably know more about this than I would, that all of the criticism and negative talk, that he doesn't love the game and he cares too much about his brand, to me kind of feels like teams outside of the top two or three trying to get Thibodeau to fall. I like Malik Willis, but I think Davis Mills did enough to be that bridge quarterback to whoever they want to select at the quarterback position in 2023. So for a club that I think understands that it's rebuilding, they're not doing, you know, what the Jaguars are doing, spending a ton in free agency, trying to accelerate a rebuilding process kind of artificially. They really are in a spot to go best player available. I would love at 13, someone like Derek Stingley, if Kyle Hamilton falls, or maybe that's where they go edge rusher and they go with someone like Jermaine Johnson or Javon Walker.
Yeah, this is really tricky because, you know, I think if you're the Texans, you want quarterbacks drafted in front of 13. You're hoping that there's a quarterback push because it's going to push either cornerback, pass rusher, or offensive line potentially back. If a guy like Charles Cross, Jermaine Johnson, Kayvon Thibodeau, Kyle Hamilton, Derek Stingley, these are all... I mean, look, you've seen the roster, Chris. It's terrible. So nobody that gets – everyone who gets drafted at 13 is better than whoever the Texans have. With that said, you'd prefer quarterbacks to get – the worst-case scenario for the Texans – well, I say worst-case scenario for the Texans is quarterbacks falling because the good players that they want are going to get drafted. But then I do wonder if maybe the New Orleans Saints or another team are willing to say, ooh, Malik Willis is there. Ooh, Kenny Pickett's there. Let me jump up to 13 and grab that player at that point. And then maybe the Texans fall back and draft a guy like Trevor Penning or, you know, Trent McDuffie, whoever they may take a look at. But I'm really curious about what the Texans do at three because we had a caller just bring this up. Hey, if you need cornerback so bad and you want cornerback so bad, why not just take Sauce at number three and be done with it? And I think that you can get cute and do some different things, but I don't think that's the dumbest idea in the world.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I'm actually higher on Derek Stingley, but I think during the pre-draft process, Stingley coming in a little bit shorter than expected, shorter arms than expected, and then Gardner just being this alpha, not only on the field during his career at Cincinnati, just not allowing a touchdown, all that, but being big, being crazy long with over 33-inch arms, he is that number one corner that the Texans have definitely needed. What I've said on a lot of other radio spots and podcasts, and I've written it, unless the Texans go completely off the grid at 3 or 13 and do a Tyson Alualu from the Jaguars 10 years ago, I think they will come out of the first round and everyone will say, hey, I like what they did. Because like we mentioned, they have so many needs. And I feel like between 3 and 13, we could see two quarterbacks off the board. I would be shocked if the Carolina Panthers don't pick a quarterback. And I think Malik Willis will fall in there as well, maybe to the Seahawks at 9, the Falcons at 8. So if it's Ahmad Gardner at 3, and it's Jermaine Johnson at 13, two very important positions in today's NFL, that would be perfect.
I mean, if you could get Jermaine Johnson, I'm telling you, if the Texans could get Jermaine Johnson at 13, I would be very excited about that from Florida State. I think that would be fantastic. I think that, you know, Nick Caserio does come from an organization, though, Chris, in the Patriots. And I do think you need to look at his last 20 years of football because it is going to have an influence on him. The Patriots were not afraid. Now, they weren't drafting third, but the Patriots were not afraid to move backwards in drafts and add draft capital for a rainy day and a lot of times for future draft picks. So I am curious to see how he maneuvers and operates in this year's draft because he didn't have a first or second last year. So we don't really know how Nick Caserio is going to approach a full draft.
No, that's a really good point to bring up, and I think all Texans fans have to have that, not in the back of their minds, but the forefront of their minds. And I'm from Buffalo, so I certainly watched closely how the Patriots operated the last 20 years when they owned the AFC East. And what's funny is, and I think we've seen it the last few years, that there was a thought that Bill Belichick was this great drafter, and everything they did in New England, they were just, you know, acing every draft. They really weren't, but like you mentioned, he just had more roles at the table. There were first rounds, many first rounds, that Bill Belichick with Nick Caserio as his right-hand man traded out of the first round or traded back a couple of times just to get more second- and third-round picks. And like you mentioned, Lance, the roster in Houston's not very good right now. It's actually pretty bad. So to get those valuable, very cheap second- and third-round picks, you have all the extra picks from the Deshaun Watson trade in the coming years, it wouldn't shock me if, like you mentioned, if Malik Willis is still there at 13, if they start to get some calls and Nick Caserio says, hey, look, this is not a draft absolutely loaded with blue-chip prospects. Let's move back to 20 with the Steelers, let them pick Malik Willis, and we'll get an extra second- and third-round pick in that move to load up for 2023 and beyond.
Chris Trapasso with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You mentioned Trayvon Walker. Lance, you think that there's a possibility he's the number one player selected?
Yeah, I think he's going one.
Wow.
Where you got him, Chris?
I mean, Lance knows more NFL people than I do. I'll say this. This is what I can say.
That's not coming from anyone in the league. Just for your background, Chris, that's really – I have heard that from an agent, and I am okay. It does – track with Mario Williams in 06, right? Vince Reggie. And then you get a special pass. You get a guy with special traits, tester, size, length, and pedigree of the SEC. And you add it all up in a year where there's not a special player. Mm-hmm. It actually tracks. Trayvon Walker could be the first pick. He wouldn't be my first pick, but I could see it happening.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He would not be my first pick. And why another reason that I don't think it's crazy for him to go there is that two or three weeks ago, everyone had been slotting Aiden Hutchinson in at number two overall to the Lions. So if he ultimately goes there, it's not like he plummeted down boards and that he was just locked in number one guy since January. I don't really think that was the case. With Walker, you're right, Lance. Like all the length, the Georgia defense, 6'5", 272, almost the same size as Myles Garrett, right around the same size. Had a workout, a more complete workout than Myles Garrett. Maybe not quite as explosive, but close. I just wouldn't pick him there because I think he is a major project to go as early as, you know, top three or maybe number one overall. I know Georgia asked him to two-gap a little bit, not get up the field as much as even Myles Garrett was allowed to at Texas A&M. But I think the pass rushing moves are there, and I didn't see the type of bend that he showed with that 6.893 cone around the corner.
I didn't either. But I tell you where I did see it. At the combine, I thought there were some things when he ran the hoop that I thought, ooh, I see a little better bend. I thought he was more of a straight-legged player, honestly, on tape. But then at the combine, I say, well, he can do it. Like, I can see him do it. Physically, it's just when the bullets are flying, how do you default? Uh-huh. I think he would be a perfect Houston Texan because he would fit what Lovey likes, he would fit what Nick Caserio likes, and those are actually two different styles. So it's rare that one player could fit the one gap scheme versus fitting what Nick Caserio loves, which is long armed, you know, big, powerful, power rushers who are great against the run. It's just rare to see a guy who can potentially fit two different styles of defenses and be one player. And so Trayvon Walker, I thought, might be a Houston Texan at one point, but I don't think he's getting there anymore.
Well, if he does get to three, one last thing on Walker to kind of tie Nick Casario and the Patriots back into that. In 2012, they picked kind of a similar type player in Chandler Jones that was long, 260, 270 pounds. The production wasn't absolutely through the roof when he was selected. I remember there being talks, like, not that he could bust out of the league in two seasons, but that he might be kind of a project. And they really obviously got the most out of Chandler Jones there in New England before trading into the Cardinals. So Nick Casario could kind of harken back to, hey, this is a similar type prospect to Chandler Jones and Trayvon Walker. And it's crazy to think that this guy was, you know, maybe a fringe first rounder pre-combine, and now we're like, hey, he might not even get to number three overall.
That is Chris Trapasso right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Always good to hear you guys talking about the NFL draft. You got two experts right here. Chris, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys, anytime. Thanks a lot.
All right, Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance? When we come back, okay, there's a lot of good stuff here. Do you think it's too cold at 75 degrees? I will answer your question. I will answer that question for you on the other side.
It feels comfortable.
No, does it? Not for everybody, oh, Mr. Selfish. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
Fahrenheit or Celsius?
And 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.